Rural America has experienced a rebound of sort in recent years, and some residents of those areas point to a perhaps unexpected reason, the arts. The National Governors Association reports that rural counties with performing arts organizations had population growth three times higher than counties without them. Jeffrey Brown recently found a gathering celebrating and helping to spread this trend. It's part of our ongoing arts and culture coverage, Canvas.
Friday night, hot jazz. But we're not in a flashy club in New York. This is the VFW in the town of Grand Rapids in northern Minnesota. On the guitar, Sam Miltich, who grew up here and has performed in hundreds of venues around the world. But this small stage is home.
People thought I was kind of crazy to try and make a life as a jazz musician in northern Minnesota.
Yeah. And, I mean, it does sound a little crazy.
It does sound a little crazy. Yeah. And actually, maybe it is a little bit crazy. But the quality of life where I grew up was just so high. And I was, like, acutely aware of how good that life was. And I wanted that life.
And he's not alone. As we saw in the nearby Performing Arts Center that played host to a recent Rural Arts and Culture Summit. The summit is a biennial event held in different towns. This one brought together some 350 artists and community leaders from 25 states to exchange ideas, celebrate the role of creativity in small towns, and fight a national narrative about rural America in decline.
That's a pretty simple way to tell that story. And I think underlying that story is often this attitude of sort of, well, why don't you just get over it? Or why don't you just move? I think that kind of ignores the history and the complexity, and it often ignores all of the people who are working really hard to make what's next for that community.
Laura Zabel heads Springboard for the Arts, a Minnesota group that helps artists and organizations in both urban and rural areas, and puts on the summit.
Where do you see the arts fitting in? What's the role of arts and artists?
They sort of have this ability to make meaning sometimes from the really hard parts of what it means to live in a rural community right now. And I think that's necessary for a community to move forward, that rather than just telling people, get over it, people need outlets for their pain and their shame and their joy.
I work for another organization.
The summit focuses on the practical side of succeeding in rural areas. There are consultations for legal aid, economic planning, and career advice. With a dream of being a professional dancer, Molly Johnston left her hometown of Battle Lake, Minnesota, with a population of less than 1,000, for college in Philadelphia. She remembers thinking she wouldn't return until retirement.
I was the first one out of town after graduation, ready to explore the world.
But family and lifestyle pulled her back to Battle Lake. The problem, how to make it work as a dancer.
I'm creating opportunities that didn't exist in the first place. So it's not like
In what sense? I mean, explain that to me.
Well, I mean, there's no dance studio in Battle Lake, for instance. So I can't just walk in and be like, hey, I have my master's in dance. Can you give me a job and a weekly paycheck?
So she and a colleague created their own organization, Dance Barn Collective, to put on a festival and give opportunities to those living in rural communities. She also teaches dance classes to make ends meet.
We're becoming part of our town's makeup, that when they see that Dance Barn is doing a pop-up show at the bar on Thursday night, people show up. I think that's something really beautiful and surprising about living in a rural town.
There are dozens and dozens of local artists.
Jay Arrowsmith Deku came to the summit with a different perspective as mayor of Grand Marais, Minnesota, a small town of about 1,300 people that sits on Lake Superior near the Canadian border. It's a town that's long valued the arts, he says, but is now making them part of its planning and policies, like incorporating artists and creative design into the reconstruction of a local highway.
The idea is, if you could at least consider art when you're working on any policy, then you won't create barriers to the development of art in your community.
Everyone here acknowledges the challenges of making a life in art in a small town, earning enough income, housing, finding an audience.
There's a lot of this that is really, that's uncomfortable for us.
Amber Bakanaga has faced those and other challenges firsthand. A member of the Leech Lake Band of Chippewa, she lives in East Lake on the reservation and works as a fashion designer, incorporating traditional patterns into contemporary clothing. But lack of access to proper equipment and technology are a constraint. The Wi-Fi in her area, she says, isn't worth paying for.
We do have those challenges, and then on top of us being Indigenous people, it becomes more challenging. The access that the non-Indigenous population has to like art spaces and resources, it's there right in front of them and it comes to them, and people feel more comfortable inviting them to those things.
And you don't have that network?
No, we just don't have that.
Here in Grand Rapids, where the massive paper mill and the crucial timber industry have struggled, an arts community has blossomed. There's a gallery and small shops, pop-ups in the beautifully restored old schoolhouse, an art walk on the first Friday of each month. And jazz guitarist Sam Miltich, a full-time musician, is a regular at the VFW. With grants from a state sales tax fund for arts and culture, he's able to bring musicians from urban areas to play with him in Grand Rapids. Miltich says he feels a sense of mission.
I think someone dubbed the term jazz ambassador of the North or some such thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I've always...
Which you embrace.
Which I embrace.
Yeah.
And I've always felt, I think it's a little bit of an equity thing, where I always have felt that rural people are every bit as deserving of art as any other group, and maybe more so because they don't have as much access to it. So it's about providing access.
For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Jeffrey Brown in Grand Rapids, Minnesota.